"He's alive," he replied, turning his attention to Helen. "I see your father has taken care of Commander Yang."
"How do you know?"
Helen started to demand, before she pressed her lips together. Ren Lu's intense, dark gaze sent a shaft of fear through Michaela. This guy wasn't someone you wanted to underestimate. Automatically, her hand rose to push back the strand of hair from her face when the wind blew it. She could feel her face flush when his gaze followed the movement, and quickly dropped it back to her side. "Where is Henry Summerlin?" Brian demanded, stepping to the front and side so that he was slightly in front of Michaela. Ren Lu's gaze flashed with irritation before he turned to stare back at Brian. Michaela swore she could feel the temperature drop from the frigid glare he shot Brian. Michaela hastily bit her lip before she made the mistake of making a nasty retort, something along the lines of the two men reminding her of dogs peeing on trees. "Harrington is dead," Ren Lu stated, instead of answering Brian. "I want the information he gave to Summerlin. It was not on the old man or on the sailboat, so I would assume that Michaela has it. You give me the item I am looking for, and I will give you the location of the old man."
"It won't do you much good,"
Brian said, pulling the flash drive out of his pocket. "Harrington encrypted it. As you said, Harrington is dead. Without the password, there's no way to retrieve the information."
"I will worry about that,"
Ren Lu replied, holding out his hand for the flash drive.
"Give it to me, and I will tell you where Summerlin is located."
Brian's hand paused, his fingers still wrapped tightly around the flash drive, while his gaze was fixed on Ren Lu's face. Michaela could see the muscle twitching in his jaw. Her fingers curled until she could feel her nails biting into the flesh of her palm. All she wanted to do was rip the flash drive out of Brian's hand, give it to Ren Lu, then knock the crap out of the guy once he told her where Henry was being held. She finally released the breath she was holding when Brian turned his hand over and dropped the flash drive into Ren Lu's opened palm. The other man didn't close his fingers around it or drop his hand. He continued to stare at Brian for several long seconds before a satisfied smile curved his lips at the corner. "Container Terminal 8 West," Ren Lu stated in a quiet, even tone. "The Sea of Hong Kong. Deck 3. Michaela, unable to stand, not knowing, stepped past Brian when Ren Lu started to take a step back. Her hand reached out and she touched his arm. She knew her gaze was filled with worry, but she didn't care. They had what they needed, hopefully.
Is my grandpa okay?"
she asked, in a hesitant voice, almost afraid of his answer. Ren Lu paused and looked down at her.
"His wrist is broken. Other than that, he is well," he promised.
"Broken? How?"
Michaela started to say, when she heard Tyrell's sharp warning a moment before Brian jerked back against the railing.
"Brian!"
Her cry was cut short when Ren Lu wrapped his hand around her arm and pulled her up against him. Another sound exploded around them, sending Helen diving to the ground. Michaela's eyes were glued to Brian. He had been struck in the chest. She could see the dark hole in the front of his shirt. The second impact knocked him backwards and over the short fencing surrounding the statue. Her lips parted to scream when she felt a slight sting followed by warmth.
"Michaela!"
Tyrell's voice seemed to shout in her head, even as it started to grow fuzzy. It took a few precious seconds for Michaela to realize Ren Lu had drugged her. She fought against the effects, clenching her fist and swinging out at the same time as her legs started to give out from under her. Her body felt motionless for a second, before an arm wrapped around her waist and she stumbled forward when Ren Lu turned and began hurrying them away from where Brian lay hidden behind a row of short hedges and Helen was behind a stone bench.
"Let me go,"
she mumbled, more than hissed, ineffectively trying to push away from him.
"Brian!"
Tyrell cursed and swung his camera over his shoulder. He reached down and grabbed his backpack off the ground before breaking into a fast sprint. Whoever in the hell was on the second floor had just taken out Brian and had Helen pinned down. He had been taking photos of Ren Lu before scanning the area through the 600mm telephoto lens attached to his Canon EOS 5. The flight of several doves and the open window drew his attention, and he had zoomed in on it. He had called out a warning the moment he realized that he was staring down the end of a gun. His finger instinctively captured the man at the same time that he had fired. Even with the warning, it had been too late. Tyrell had jerked his camera down in time to see Brian stagger backwards. The second shot had sent him over the railing. From this position, he could see Helen draw her own weapon and dive behind the bench. Tyrell knew that her pistol would be useless against the man with the high-powered rifle. A split second of indecision held him motionless when he saw Ren Lu grab Michaela. He finally made the decision to go after the gunman when he saw Brian crawl behind the statue and press his back against it. The gunman must have seen the slight movement as well, because he fired another shot, cutting a piece of marble off the corner of the base. Tyrell cut through several startled tourists and pushed open the door of the building. His gaze swept around the lower floor before he spied the staircase leading upstairs. He gripped his camera with one hand and slung the strap of his backpack over his shoulder before taking the stairs two at a time to the second floor. He glanced back and forth when he reached the top, trying to gauge where the man would be. His gaze narrowed on the far end of the hallway, facing the statue. Hurrying down the corridor, he glanced through the glass doors while he went. The second to the last one was an exercise room. Behind a pillar, Tyrell caught a glimpse of a shoe. He slid his backpack down off his shoulder and gripped it tightly by the handle before he pushed open the door and stepped in. Brian drew in a deep breath, wincing when his chest ached and a shaft of pain radiated through him at the movement. His fingers fumbled for the gun under his jacket before he wrapped them around the grip. Rolling onto his stomach, he glanced through the small bushes lining the inside of the fencing and peered at Helen. Their gazes locked, hers filled with worry, while he knew his eyes reflected his fury. "Where's Michaela?" Brian asked, in a furious voice.
"Ren Lu took her," Helen replied with relief and confusion. "How bad are you hit?"
"I'm good, just bruised," Brian said, glancing toward the statue. "Do we know where the gunman is?" Helen shook her head.
"No,"
she muttered, wincing when another bullet struck the bench above her and bits and pieces of concrete rained down on her. Brian gritted his teeth. Pushing up, he rolled behind the statue and pressed his back to the smooth base. A fraction of a second later, another bullet struck inches from him.
"He could be anywhere,"
Helen shouted above the screams and shouts when the tourists close to them realized what was happening. "I have to stop Ren Lu from taking Michaela," Brian yelled back, glancing around the other side of the statue.
"You can't save her if you're dead, Brian,"
Helen retorted. Brian tried to glance around the side of the statue again. This time, he was able to catch a glimpse of Ren Lu and Michaela in the distance before they disappeared through the front entrance to the park. He leaned back and glanced around. "Tyrell," Brian growled into the microphone.
"I'm on it,"
Tyrell replied in a breathless voice.
"Second floor, last window to the west. I'm entering the building now."
Brian's mouth tightened, and he glanced over at Helen. Her gaze was filled with concern as well. They were trained to handle people like the shooter. Tyrell wasn't. He saw Helen's expression change to determination. She drew her legs up under her so that she was now squatting. His gaze followed to where she was looking. There was a line of trees along the path that led to the building. He nodded to her when she shot him a look.
"Go!"
Brian shouted, rising up and aiming for the window. Helen took off when she heard Brian's gun discharge. She disappeared behind the large oak and out of direct line of sight of the gunman. Brian jerked back behind the statue when she was clear. Frustration gripped him. He was pinned down until Tyrell and Helen could stop the gunman. In the meantime, Ren Lu was getting further away with Michaela. In the microphone in his ear, he could hear Tyrell yell and the sounds of a scuffle. Rolling to his feet, he took off, jumping the short hedge and low fence. The sounds of sirens echoed in the background. He had to hope that Tyrell and Helen could take care of the man and get out. His focus was on finding Michaela.
"Kevin, I need you to track Michaela,"
Brian muttered, raising the watch on his arm to his mouth while he ran.
"I'm on it. Helen is in the building. I don't have a visual on them any longer," Kevin muttered. "I'm working on the security cameras inside, but they only have them on the first floor."
"Where did Ren Lu go?"
Brian demanded.
"Cameras show them going across the footbridge to the parking garage," Kevin replied.
"Don't lose them,"
Brian ordered.
I'm tracking her, Brian, Kevin assured him. Turn left and take the stairs down to the first level. I have them getting into a black Audi.
Brian cut to the left and took the stairs down to the first level. He came out near the exit. Raising his gun, he listened to the sound of squealing tires approach. His eyes locked on Renlu. His finger squeezed the trigger. The car swerved, turning sharply before straightening. Brian barely had time to roll to the side before it roared past him and out onto the street. Brian stood up and stared after the car. His heart thumped with fear and anguish while his mind raced. He needed to get to his car. As long as Michaela was wearing the watch Kevin had given her, he could track her.
Brian, did you get Michaela?
Helen's voice echoed in his ear. Brian touched his watch and raised it to his mouth.
Negative, he answered in a hard tone. The gunman?
Dead, Helen replied. We'll meet you at the car.
Affirmative,
he responded, sliding his gun into his pocket when several visitors to the park passed him talking excitedly about what was happening. Tyrell pressed a tissue to the cut at the corner of his right eye. His other hand gripped the strap of his camera. He dropped his shoulder and reached for the black bag he was carrying so he could store the remains of his camera in it. He grimaced when he saw the bent angle of his $2,000 lens. It was shot. He unzipped the bag and removed the lens with the press of a button and a twist. Staring down at it, he released a sigh before he dropped the blood-stained lens into a nearby trash can. It would be a little difficult to explain to the insurance adjuster that he had broken the lens upside someone's head. Sliding the camera into the bag, he quickly zipped it and applied pressure back to the cut near his eye, which was beginning to swell.
Thank you, he muttered to Helen.
Helen glanced at him and gave him a tight smile.
It is my job, she replied, before releasing a sigh. You're welcome.
Tyrell grunted an acknowledgement. He was lucky he had just walked away with some bruises and a cut above the eye. If Helen hadn't shown up when she had, he would be the one being removed in a body bag, not the gunman. Helen had entered the room in time to shoot the bad guy who was doing a pretty good job of kicking Tyrell's ass. Tyrell had surprised the man and struck him with his camera. He was pretty sure getting hit upside the head by a 160mm heavy-duty telephoto lens would have knocked most men out. Unfortunately, the man Tyrell had confronted had already looked like he'd been hit upside the head by a Mack truck and was still going. The man had kicked him from one end of the room to the other. He was just turning the rifle on Tyrell when Helen stepped into the room and shot the man in the shoulder. The force of the impact had caught the assassin off guard, and he had tripped over the gun case on the floor and fallen out of the second-floor window to the sidewalk below. In the meantime, Tyrell was still trying to capture all the damn bats in his belfry that the man had stirred up in Tyrell's brain, from the last blow to his temple. He turned and followed Helen when she stepped across to a less used path. His gaze swept over the policemen running by them. Brian, Michaela, and Helen were still fugitives, as far as they knew. He listened to Helen when she reached out to Brian.
What happens now? Tyrell asked, when they neared the cars.
We split up, Helen said, turning to watch Brian stride toward them at a brisk pace. Brian goes after Michaela, I go after Henry, and you go find the second piece of the puzzle.
Tyrell stopped and looked down at Helen. He glanced around. On the corner, there was a small shop set up with motorbikes out front for rent. They were going to need another vehicle. I want both of you to go after Henry, Brian instructed, pulling his gun out, changing the clip, pulling a silencer out of his jacket pocket, and attaching it before holding it out to Tyrell. I'll go after Michaela.
What about the second piece to the puzzle? Tyrell asked in surprise.
To hell with the information. I'm not leaving Michaela or Henry to die for some... Brian bit off the rest of his statement. Go after Henry. After I get Michaela, she and I will go find the next piece.
What if something happens? Helen asked, in a quiet voice.
Brian looked at her. Then you and Tyrell know what to do, he said, walking over to the car. Does Kevin have a fix on Michaela yet? Tyrell asked, watching Brian pull a bag out of the trunk of the car and open it. Yes, Brian replied, with a hard edge to his voice. Tyrell watched Brian pull out several guns and check them before concealing one in his jacket pocket and two more at his waist. He also pulled out a knife and clipped it to his belt. Tyrell swallowed. This was a man who knew what he was doing, and did it with a calm that left no doubt that he was ready to do whatever was necessary to get Michaela back, even if it meant killing.
"Good luck, and let us know once you get her," Tyrell muttered, turning when Helen pulled open the door to the other rental car.
Brian didn't answer. He was already in the car and pulling out by the time Helen started the one they had climbed into. Tyrell stared down at the gun in his hands. If getting his ass kicked wasn't enough to tell him he was in way over his head, holding a gun with a silencer attached was. Chapter 23. Michaela shook her head and silently stared out of the window. The wind blew into the car from the shattered back window behind Renlu. Her head was beginning to clear with the cool breeze. Thank goodness whatever the man sitting next to her had given her hadn't lasted very long.
"You know, anyone can do bad things," she said in a quiet voice, not really expecting him to listen to her.
He shot her a puzzled glance before turning down another busy road. Silence followed her statement, and she turned her head to stare out the window. Behind her, she gently rubbed her wrist to make sure the watch she was wearing was still attached. A relieved sigh escaped her when she felt it. She didn't think she was fortunate enough to have retained the earpiece, though. There was no way to check it with her hands tied behind her back.
"What do you mean?"
Renlu finally asked, glancing at her again. Michaela blinked in surprise at the curiosity in his voice. She turned to look at him again. He was older than she had originally thought, perhaps in his early 30s.
"It was just a random thought," she replied with a shrug. "Anyone can do something bad. It takes someone stronger to do something good. It's something Henry once said."
Renlu frowned and slowed down a little, to Michaela's relief. She wasn't buckled in and didn't relish going through the windshield if he were to have an accident. She could feel the muscles in her legs relax a little.
"The old man, you call him by his given name instead of grandfather."
"Why?"
Renlu asked. Michaela stared out over the water. They were traveling along the bay again. She felt a sense of deja vu strike her. She had definitely seen more of Hong Kong in the last 48 hours than she had the first 2 days. Michaela's lips curved into a rueful smile that didn't reach her eyes. If anything, she could feel the sadness deep inside threatening to drown her. She lowered her head, her eyes locked on the gun sitting on the seat between his legs.
"You wouldn't be interested," she muttered.
"Tell me. I read about you. You stole your grandfather's sailboat when you were 16.
Why?
The place you wanted to go was 2 hours by car, and much safer. Why would you do something so reckless?" he demanded,
turning on his signal and pulling down a narrow road lined with warehouses. Michaela groaned and leaned her head back against the seat.
"I swear I'm never going to live that down."
Robert Ballard once said he wished he could find a UFO at the bottom of the ocean so people would quit asking him about the Titanic.
"I can totally appreciate why now," she muttered, staring at the buildings. "Are you going to kill me? If you are, I think I'd like to know first."
Renlu's lips twitched. He drew the car to a stop in front of a building. It looked like they were at one of the commercial ports. She could see a glimpse of water ahead of them.
"No, I do not plan on killing you," he replied, turning the car off and shifting toward her to study her mutinous expression. "I find you attractive."
Michaela slowly lifted her head and turned to look at him with a disbelieving stare. She knew her mouth had to be hanging open, and she forced it closed. Shaking her head, she tried to see if she was in some delusional state brought on by whatever drug he had injected into her. She didn't feel weird, but this was definitely one of the strangest moments of her life.
"I beg your pardon," she muttered, blinking and frowning at him.
Renlu reached out to touch her. Michaela drew back, her gaze moving from his hand to his face. She braced herself for his touch, unsure of what to expect.
She was shocked when he barely skimmed his fingertips along her cheek.
I find you attractive, Renlu replied, slowly pulling his hand back. I want to know why.
Michaela raised an eyebrow and stared at him in silence. She didn't want to touch that statement with a 10-foot pole. In fact, she could think of any number of other things she would rather do and places she would rather be than dealing with a confused psychopathic killer who thought she was attractive.
You don't get out much, do you? Michaela asked.
Renlu's startled chuckle caused her to jump and scoot closer to the door. His eyes glittered with amusement. Michaela warily followed his hand when he reached down for the gun before he opened the driver's door. It wasn't until he closed the door that she released the breath she hadn't been aware that she'd been holding. Like Henry, she had a tendency to open her mouth and insert her foot before her brain could stop her. She watched Renlu walk around to the passenger side and open the door. She wanted to resist getting out, but knew it would be futile. Instead, she swung her long legs out and stood up. As long as she kept her head clear, her mouth shut, and waited for the image of Brian falling backwards, a dark hole in his chest suddenly washed through her mind. She stiffened, jerking back when the world momentarily tilted sideways. Her legs suddenly felt too weak to hold her, and she could feel her body sliding down the side of the car that she had just exited while she struggled to pull oxygen into her lungs.
Michaela, Renlu said, grabbing her by her forearms and steadying her.
He knelt in front of her and lifted her chin so he could see her face.
What is it?
Michaela slowly opened her eyes. Unexpected pain clenched her chest and her eyes filled with tears. The tears were caused by grief and rage. A guttural cry escaped her, and she struck out with the only weapon she had, her body. She threw her body forward, knocking a surprised Renlu off balance. Kicking out, she tried to knee him while her teeth bit deeply into his wrist. A soft grunt escaped him, and he rolled, pinning her body under his muscular frame while she struggled to do whatever damage she could with her head, legs, and teeth. A sob escaped her before she drew in a deep, shuddering breath when he held her immobilized. She hiccuped inelegantly and tried to wipe away with her shoulder the tear that had escaped.
What happened? He demanded, staring down at her.
Brian!
Her voice broke, and she sniffed again, her gaze burning with grief and anger.
You had someone shoot him!
Renlu's face stiffened, and he cautiously rolled off of her. She stared up at him before she sat up and rolled onto her knees. He didn't help her when she struggled to stand. She couldn't really blame him for that. She was a little proud of how much she had roughed him up with her hands tied behind her back. His pristine black pants and shirt were coated in dust and debris from the road. He was absently rubbing the arm she had bitten.
I did not hire the gunman to target Jacobs. My employer did,
Renlu stated, staring at her.
Oh,
Michaela mumbled, glancing down at the ground before she glared back at him.
You still deserved it for working for such a jerk? Not to mention drugging me, kidnapping me, and tying me up.
Renlu stepped forward and gripped her arm in a bruising grip.
I may not have hired the man, but I led him to Jacobs and Detective Wu. Men like us are not easy to kill, Michaela. Jacobs must not have been injured too badly, since he was able to try to kill me in the parking garage. As for your other reasons, I will give you this one act of rebellion. But if you try to attack me again, I won't be so forgiving.
Michaela stared back at him for several seconds before she finally looked away. The warning was clear. She needed to behave if she valued her life. Once again, her fingers caressed the watch on her wrist. Chapter 24. Brian slowly braked the car to a stop, turned off the engine, and slid out of the car. He looked down the long row of warehouses. In front of the last one, a black Audi sat empty. Several minutes later, he was standing next to the car. He pulled his cell phone out of his jacket and pressed the number he had programmed into it. Almost immediately, Kevin picked up.
Where is she? Brian demanded,
gazing out across the water. The city lights were beginning to light up the sky in the growing dusk. The wind coming off the water was cool, but Brian didn't feel it. It was a little over an hour since the shooting at the park. It had taken longer than Kevin or he had expected to reach the location where Kevin had tracked Michaela and Ren Lu. The area around the park had been practically shut down, creating a gridlock with people traveling home for the night.
I have her showing up in the middle of the water on the maps. Not like in it, but you get what I mean. I'm not talking like fish food, like Sun's last head of security, Kevin hastily muttered in his ear. I won't have an exact location until the other satellite I'm waiting for comes within range so I can activate it. I didn't want to report until I knew for sure where she was at. I was hoping she was there.
How long will that take? Brian asked in frustration, walking toward the edge.
22 minutes, 46 seconds, if you want to know the exact time, Kevin said. Whatever I find, you're going to need a boat.
Brian glanced around. The only thing here was an old tugboat. He raised his hand and ran it through his hair in frustration, staring across the bay.
Brian, in case you have forgotten, I've got plenty of them here, Kevin gently reminded him. By the time you get back here, I'll have everything you need.
I'll need one fully loaded, Brian replied, dropping his hand to his side.
I wouldn't give you anything less, Kevin promised.
Brian turned and strode back to his car.
Have you heard from Helen and Tyrell yet?
He asked, in a tone fraught with tension.
I'm listening and watching, but keeping silent, Kevin admitted.
They're going in now.
Keep me posted, Brian instructed.
I will, Kevin replied.
See you in 45.
Brian hung up the phone and slipped it into his pocket. He unlocked the door to his car and slid in behind the wheel. Within seconds, he was making a wide U-turn and cutting through the back streets back to Lei Yu Moon and Kevin's place. His fingers tightened on the steering wheel, and he quickly shifted. He couldn't erase the image of Ren Lu pulling Michaela away from him. His mind kept replaying the last few days. It hadn't mattered that he had stayed away from her. It hadn't mattered that he had gone halfway around the world. His way of life had still tangled with Michaela's, unwittingly endangering her. A soft curse slipped from his lips when he remembered something that Harrington had said to him. It hadn't made much sense to him at the time, but that might have been because he didn't have anything comparable to what Harrington was talking about then. Now, he did, and Harrington's sentiments made perfect sense.
You only get one shot at this life, Brian. When you find something as perfect as the woman you love, you realize that some things are worth the risk. Besides, you never really know when your time will be up. I could do this for 30 years and never get hurt. If there is one thing I've learned about living here in Hong Kong, it is that life is to be lived and appreciated every day as if it were my last.
Harrington hadn't let his job keep him from having a life. He didn't know if the man had ever told his wife what he did for a living, but deep down, Brian hoped that the other man had. If Harrington's wife was anything like Michaela, he imagined that she would have supported him. Once again, it dawned on Brian that he had underestimated Michaela. She had not questioned what he was doing, complained, or had a meltdown. In all honesty, it hadn't been his fear of her doing any of that, but his own fears that had held him back. One thing he didn't want was to end up like Harrington. Once he had Michaela and Henry safe, and the information in the proper hands, he was requesting a reassignment. He wanted that life with Michaela. He wanted the happily ever after, and he didn't want to go to work wondering if he might never come home again. There were other things in life that were more important, and Michaela was at the top of his bucket list when it came to everything else. He'd screwed up once. He wouldn't do it again. A flash of memory swept through him of Michaela's face the afternoon Tyrell and she had sailed into Tampa Bay. The sun had been shining down on her, and she had handled the defiance as if she were one with the sailboat. He'd never forget her face when she had seen all the people lining the pier, cheering for Tyrell and her. Her eyes had flashed with confusion and a touch of fear until she had seen Henry, her mom, and him standing on the dock waiting for her. He had kissed her like he would never let her go, but he had. When he had a chance to kiss her again, he was going to make sure she knew it was forever.
It wasn't often that someone was given a second chance, and he was smart enough to know to hold on to it with both hands. He just needed to get her back first. Tyrell wiped his sweaty palm across the denim of his jeans before shifting the gun in his other hand to the one he had just wiped, so he could do his other one. He glanced at Helen. She looked like she was ready to go shopping instead of climbing aboard a huge-ass cargo freighter with armed guards.
"Okay, how are we supposed to get on that thing without being seen?"
Tyrell asked for the fifth time, glancing around the cargo container that they had slipped up behind.
"I see two gangplanks going up to the deck, and they both have guys with bigger guns than we do."
Helen glanced over her shoulder at him and shook her head in amusement. What she could find so amusing at the moment was beyond him. Personally, all he could think about was he hoped he didn't piss his pants. He'd been in some scary situations before, but nothing like this. The other times, he hadn't been one of the ones toting a gun. He knew it was a throwback to his life before his journey on the Defiance, before he had fallen asleep on the sailboat and woken to find himself at sea. He had only dreamed of becoming a professional photographer. In reality, his life had been one step away from being dragged down into the gangs that his older brother had gotten caught up in. A life that had come close to getting not only his older brother killed, but Tyrell and their grandmother. When one of their high school teachers had assigned Michaela and him a class project to show how social media can be used to share extraordinary events in a person's life, he had never expected that event to be the voyage of the Defiance. He had inadvertently stowed away on the boat when Michaela had stolen it, and their subsequent journey had gone viral when he shared it. The fact that they had made it through not only a storm at sea but a hurricane had captured the attention of millions of viewers following their journey, a journey that Michaela and he hadn't thought they would survive. Swallowing, Tyrell gazed down at the long black barrel of the gun. It was vastly different from the camera lens. He had decided years ago that he didn't want the violent life that had killed his father, lured his mother and brother away, and had come close to taking everything he held dear. Now, he would have to use some of those skills to rescue Henry Summerlin.
"Do you see that?"
Helen whispered, nodding to where a crane was loading cargo.
"You want to ride on a cargo container?"
Tyrell asked in disbelief, his gaze following the swaying metal container that was hundreds of feet in the air.
"No, I want to go through the opening where they load the smaller crates under it," she retorted in quiet exasperation. "Look down."
Tyrell's gaze dropped to where a section of the cargo ship was open on the side, and wooden crates were being lifted by a forklift, which disappeared through the opening in the side of the ship. It looked like there was only one person working at the moment. His gaze followed the forklift. It looked like what the big cruise lines did when one of them was getting ready to leave port.
"So what's the plan?"
he asked, glancing down at Helen. Helen smiled at him.
"Do you know how to drive a forklift?"
she asked, with a raised eyebrow. 15 minutes later, the former driver of the forklift was tied up behind one of the crates, and Tyrell was wearing the man's vest and hard hat. He was grateful for the growing darkness because the vest was at least one size too small. It didn't take him long to remember how to drive the small piece of machinery. He had spent a couple of summers helping down at the boatyard, thanks to Henry's reference and helpful guidance. He loaded several crates before he picked up the one with Helen in it. Turning the forklift, he guided it over the metal platform bridging the dock and the freighter. He guided the forklift over to where he had stacked the other crates and gently lowered the wooden container to the floor. Leaning forward, he turned off the machine and climbed out.
"Clear,"
he murmured after double-checking to make sure they were alone. Helen peered around the side of the crate. In the bright lights of the cargo hold, the gun she was holding looked huge and menacing. Tyrell swallowed and reached for the one Brian had given him that he had tucked into the back of his pants. He also reached for his cell phone. Kevin had sent each of them a blueprint of the cargo ship so they could find their way around the massive ship. He glanced at the map before turning to get his bearings. A silent curse escaped him when he saw Helen was already heading for a set of stairs leading up.
That's right, just leaves a rookie behind, he muttered with a shake of his head.
He shoved his cell phone back in his pocket and hurried to follow her. Together, they climbed the metal stairs. At first, he thought they should be stealthy. It wasn't until Helen gave him an inquisitive glance over her shoulder that he realized that acting like they were supposed to be there would draw less attention than two people slinking around. She kept her weapon by her side, so it wasn't as visible, but he could tell she was ready for any unexpected encounters.
What do we do if we meet someone? Tyrell whispered.
Helen glanced up at him.
We try to avoid that. I would prefer not to have to kill anyone if I can. If they shoot at us, we shoot back. Otherwise, we try to do what we did with the other worker, she replied in a barely audible voice. I have found from previous experience that most vessels like this have a minimum crew while at port.
Yeah, but do most of them have a person that they've kidnapped on board?
Tyrell asked, with a skeptical expression. Helen's lips twisted in a slightly bitter smile.
You would be surprised, Tyrell. Human trafficking is a huge business, she said in a somber tone.
Tyrell stared after Helen. He knew a little about human trafficking. In some of the other countries he had visited, he'd heard about it, but he had never thought about it being an issue in a city as modern as Hong Kong. He didn't know why. After all, it was a hub for activity between China, the Philippines, and other surrounding Asian countries, where he knew human trafficking was a major issue. Once again, he realized that if he didn't pay attention, he could find himself left behind. They had to stop twice and hide when they heard the sound of approaching footsteps. The first time, Helen and he had remained frozen under the stairwell when two men came down. Fortunately, the men were too busy arguing and laughing over a recent sporting event to pay attention to anything but their conversation and where they were going. Tyrell was able to pick out enough of the words they were speaking to understand what they were talking about, thanks to the months he had spent in China a couple of years ago. The second time, they were able to slip into a room. Tyrell nodded when Helen indicated the coast was clear again. They walked down the narrow passage, and he breathed a sigh of relief when he saw the huge three painted along the dull gray walls. Helen moved more slowly now, with her gun up and ready. Tyrell copied her, glancing back over his shoulder.
The door on the left is closed, Helen murmured. The others are open.
I hear footsteps, Tyrell warned.
Helen nodded and motioned for Tyrell to follow her. They slipped through the open door across from the one that was locked and pressed up against the wall just inside the door. Less than a minute later, they heard the sound of a man's voice humming a song, growing closer. Tyrell glanced in the distorted mirror mounted over a small sink across from them. He could see the door across the hall. Seconds later, a young Asian man stopped in front of the door. The man was carrying a tray that looked like it had some food on it. White earbuds hung from the man's ears, and the muted sound of pop music could be heard. The man bent and set the tray down on the floor before reaching into his pocket and pulling out a set of keys. They could hear him fumble with his key and the lock on the door before he removed the key. Replacing the keys in his pocket, he retrieved the tray. Helen quickly moved once the man stepped into the room and muttered to the occupant. She stepped over the lip of the doorway, her gun raised. Then she crossed the corridor and went through the now unlocked door. The man carrying the tray froze when he felt the hard tip of her gun pressed against the back of his head. Tyrell stepped through behind her and glanced around. The room was barren except for a small sink, toilet, and metal-framed bunk attached to the far wall. A grin lit Tyrell's face when he saw the weathered face of Henry Summerlin scowling back at him.
Hey, Mr. S., Tyrell greeted with a wave of his hand before he realized he had the gun in it. Are you ready to get out of here?
Henry slowly sat up, the blanket he had draped over him falling to the side when his feet slid over the edge of the bed. Tyrell's gaze darkened with worry when he saw the old man was in a lot of pain. He stepped closer, noticing the old man's good hand tremble when it dropped on the bed so he could push up. Tyrell wrapped an arm around Henry's waist and helped him to stand.
Thanks, Tyrell,
Henry replied in a rough, slightly uneven voice.
What the hell are you doing here?
Rescuing you,
Tyrell replied in a quiet voice.
How did you know where to find me?
Henry asked, in a slightly stronger voice before he looked at Helen.
Who is she?
Detective Helen Wu, Hong Kong Police, Helen replied in a clipped tone. I suggest we get out of here. We'll leave the same way we came. If we are lucky, no one will even know Mr. Summerlin is missing until we are long gone.
Tyrell heard Helen order the young man quietly standing with his hands up to give her the keys and his phone. The man reached into his pocket and withdrew the keys and his cell phone, pulling the earbuds out of his ears at the same time. Helen had the man turn the music off before she took the phone and told the man to sit on the bed. With a nod of her head, they backed out of the room, making sure the passageway was clear first. Tyrell started slowly making his way back down the long metal corridor. Behind him, Helen closed and locked the door to the room where Henry had been held, before falling in behind them. Tyrell worriedly glanced over his shoulder to make sure Henry was doing all right. The corridors were too narrow for them to walk side by side, so he couldn't assist Henry. He could see the old man's face was pale and etched with lines of pain, but he didn't make a sound while they threaded their way back to the cargo hold and freedom. Chapter 25. Brian strode down the long dock back to Kevin's yacht. He slowed and stopped when he saw movement in one of the boats moored several slips before the yacht. In the muted glow from the restaurant lights, he could see Kevin's familiar shape moving around. Kevin glanced up at him and nodded. I found her, he said with satisfaction. Let me finish with this. I've got you some heavy-duty fireworks here.
Thanks. Where is she? Brian asked, reaching down and giving Kevin a hand back onto the deck.
I have to tell you, when your girlfriend gets kidnapped, she does it in style, Kevin muttered. Come on.
Brian followed Kevin back to his boat. Within minutes, he was staring up at the bank of computer screens again. Kevin had dimmed the lights and switched the screens to nighttime mode to help reduce the time it would take for Brian's night vision to return. The soft glow of red lights gave an eerie feel to the control room.
Ren Lu has to be more than Sun Yung Wing's chief of security, Kevin commented with a shake of his head. The yacht he is on is listed with a British company. I'm still working on peeling back all the layers, but the yacht the man is on makes this thing look like a life raft.
Where is Michaela? Brian demanded, gritting his teeth. I don't care how luxurious a prison it is. It is still a prison and Michaela is in danger.
Kevin nodded, glancing back up at the screens. Brian stared at the one in the center. A frown creased his brow. He recognized the Royal Hong Kong Marina where the Defiance had been moored. His gaze followed the cursor when Kevin slid it just to the east. Anchored less than a kilometer from the marina was a large yacht. An angry expletive burst from his lips when he realized that Ren Lu had had a front row seat to everything that had been happening.
Yeah, I said pretty much the same thing when I saw it too, Kevin muttered, staring up at the image. Oh, Helen and Tyrell are on their way back.
Henry? Brian asked, turning to look at Kevin with a concerned frown.
He's a little beat up. I've called a doctor friend to come check him over, Kevin said. I figured it would be safer here. Helen seemed to think that the worst was a broken wrist, a cut to his head, and exhaustion. I told Carl to be prepared to sedate the old man. Helen said Henry was ready to kick some ass when he found out that Ren Lu had Michaela.
Brian's lips twitched.
I can imagine, he replied.
Kevin opened his mouth to say something. Brian saw his friend blink and lean forward. He glanced down and winced when he felt Kevin poke his finger through the hole in his shirt.
Is this a bullet hole? Kevin asked with a scowl.
Yes, Brian replied, running his hand down over the hole before sliding it up to the other one. Thanks for the vest, by the way. It saved my ass today.
Kevin shook his head.
I told you, I don't like getting shot at, he said. You must be hell on clothes.
Not normally, Brian said. Kevin, I need to get Michaela back.
Kevin nodded.
Here is a blueprint of the yacht. I can only guess where he has her based on the specs I was able to download. I've included a pair of infrared night vision goggles for you. I calculated you have a better chance of success the darker it is. Luckily, it's a new moon, so you'll only have to deal with the artificial lights.
Since the yacht is self-contained, there's no way I can cut the power, or anything.
Once you get there, you will be pretty much on your own, he said.
Brian nodded. I'm not sure I should even ask what you're doing with half the stuff you've got, he retorted.
Kevin turned and grinned.
I get bored easily. When you have as much money as I do, any new gadget looks cool on eBay, he quipped, rising out of his chair. Come on, I'll show you what I've packed. I've got a Zodiac Bayrunner 420 for you. It has both a kick-ass Yamaha F50 EFI four-stroke on the back, as well as a powerful electric trolling motor. The water is pretty smooth now that the winds have died down. Your biggest enemy will be the light, if they have the yacht lit up like downtown. It's kind of hard to sneak up on someone in a bright room.
I'll figure out a way to deal with it, Brian promised.
I figured that.
I also included my paddleboard.
I'd like it back, if at all possible, Kevin added, walking back up the stairs.
Paddleboard? Brian asked.
Kevin nodded.
I figured it would be easier to get closer. It can fit two people, but you aren't going to be going anywhere fast. I'm trying to think of every scenario.
Brian nodded. They looked up when they saw a flash of car lights. Brian saw Tyrell emerge from the passenger side of the car. He walked around to the back and opened it. Brian's jaw clenched in anger when he saw Henry Summerlin slowly emerge from the back seat of the car. It was obvious, even from this distance, that the old man was in pain.
Looks like they made it back, Kevin murmured.
Yeah, Brian replied.
Several minutes later, the three were making their way slowly down the dock. Every once in a while, Brian would hear Henry curse at Tyrell, who was following behind him, to keep his damn hands off him, that he was old, not dead, and could walk unassisted.
Hi, Henry, Brian greeted, scanning the old man's face. What the hell are you doing in Hong Kong? Henry asked in a gruff tone.
Working, Brian replied.
I'm sorry you were drawn into this mess. You shouldn't have been.
Not your fault, Henry groused with a tired sigh.
I'd better find a place to park my ass, otherwise I might be needing Tyrell's help after all, he added.
I've got a doctor on the way, Kevin said, motioning for everyone to follow him.
I just hope he's got some painkillers with him, Henry muttered, wincing when Brian and Tyrell helped him aboard the junk. This is a hell of a lot nicer than the last place I was at.
Brian saw Kevin's lips twitch in amusement. Henry's muttered observations and snappy retorts made Brian more confident that the old man would be all right. Now, he needed to bring Michaela home. Almost as if Henry was reading his mind, the old man turned to glare at him with a pain-filled expression.
You're going to bring my granddaughter back safe, aren't you? Henry asked, in a slightly uneven voice.
Yes, sir, Brian responded.
Tyrell, I'm going to need your help.
Tyrell looked up in surprise from where he had helped Henry down onto the couch.
Me?
Sure,
he replied, glancing over at Helen. You know I'd do anything for Michaela, but I don't know much about using a gun.
I don't need you to use a gun. I can do that.
I need you to operate the boat, Brian said in a grim tone.
Tyrell nodded.
Now that I can do, he replied.
When are we leaving?
Now, Brian said.
Michaela sat on the edge of the plush couch. She rubbed her wrists and glanced at where Ren Lu had stepped over to the bar. Her fingers caressed the watch still strapped to her wrist. She had been terrified Ren Lu would remove it when he had tied her wrists together, but he had tied the binding slightly above the watch. Her gaze scanned the time. It was after 2100 hours, almost 5 hours since they had arrived at the park earlier this afternoon. Folding her hands together, she watched Ren Lu pour a glass of red wine. He picked up the glass and walked back to her. She stared at him when he held it out before reluctantly reaching for it. Their fingers briefly touched before she pulled the glass toward her. She didn't take a sip of the wine, afraid he might have drugged it. Her mistrust must have been evident in her expression because his lips curved in wry amusement.
You don't like wine? He asked.
Not really, she admitted, with a grimace of distaste.
It's right up there with coffee. Henry tried to get me to drink the stuff when I was a teenager, but I never did like it.
Ren Lu stepped back and sat in the white leather chair across from her.
She resisted the urge to roll her eyes at him when he continued to stare at her in silence. Instead, she placed the glass of wine on the table next to her and sat back on the couch and crossed her arms in front of her. She was perfectly happy to sit and wait in silence to be rescued. She never had been one for idle conversation if it wasn't necessary.
"Why did you steal the sailboat?" Renlu suddenly asked.
Michaela didn't bother smothering the groan that escaped her. She lifted a hand and brushed the loose strands of hair back from her face before she sat forward. Folding her hands together and resting her elbows on her knees, she thought about how she should answer the question that she had already been asked a million times.
"I don't know," she finally whispered, not looking at Renlu. "I was 16, angry, hurt, and wanted to escape the world. I think that pretty much is the same for most kids that age."
"Why were you angry?" Renlu persisted, not letting her off the hook.
Michaela glanced up at him and scowled.
Why did a hired hitman care why she had stolen a sailboat or been angry? That had been 6 years ago, after all.
Rising up off the couch, Michaela shot Renlu a dark look before turning to walk over to the glass doors that looked out over the deck and the water below. She wrapped her arms around her waist inside her jacket and dug her fingers into her side to keep them from trembling.
"I was living with my mom and her loser boyfriend at the time," Michaela murmured in a distant voice. "He was enabling her addiction to pain pills. And if that wasn't bad enough, he was an abusive prick as well."
Her hand rose to touch her face when she remembered her mom's ex hitting her. She didn't realize that Renlu could see her clearly in the reflection of the glass, or that his gaze followed the movement. She was too lost in her memories. Her hand slid back to her waist, and she shook her head.
"Anyway, there is a saying that you have to hit rock bottom before you can pick yourself up. My mom hit it, and I found myself with the option of going to live with a grandfather I didn't remember, or foster care."
A bitter laugh escaped Michaela, and she turned to face Renlu.
"That wasn't much of a choice. You can imagine what living in a state-run system would be like. I spent the summer helping Henry refurbish the Defiance. He taught me to sail, and I learned more about my mom." "That still does not explain why you would steal the sailboat," Renlu stated, tilting his head and staring intently at her face.
Michaela shrugged.
"I thought I would be going home at the end of the summer. I missed my mom and my friends. It was my last year of high school, and I wanted to be with them. My mom wasn't ready for me to come home. I had some trouble adjusting to my new school, and Henry and I got into an argument. One thing led to another, and I acted on impulse," she replied, in a curt tone.
She lifted her chin when Renlu stood up and walked toward her. She didn't like telling people her life story. What she had told him was plastered all over the internet, so it wasn't anything he couldn't have read already. She forced her body to remain still when he reached up and tenderly touched her cheek.
"What about the boy who was on board with you? The one that stowed away?" Renlu asked in a quiet voice.
Michaela's brow creased into a puzzled frown.
"Tyrell?"
She shook her head, and her lips curved at the memory of Tyrell's face when he had realized they were out to sea.
"He freaked out at first. He didn't know how to swim and had never been on a boat in his life."
"You care for this person?"
Renlu asked, with a raised eyebrow. Michaela's gaze softened and she tilted her head to stare up at Renlu.
"You tend to care about someone when your lives depend on it. I saved Tyrell's life, but he also saved mine. We're friends, but it is more than that. I can't really explain it. There is a connection there that I don't think happens very often between two people,"
she finally admitted after a pause.
"What about Brian?"
Renlu asked, in a deceptively quiet tone.
"What are your feelings for him?"
Michaela pressed her lips together. She didn't miss the slight change in his voice or the look in Renlu's eyes when he mentioned Brian's name. She stared back at him in silence.
"A shame," he murmured, his thumb caressing her cheek. "Why do you say that?"
Michaela finally asked, not moving when he slid his hand further down to her neck.
"As I said before, I find you very attractive," Renlu replied, in a quiet voice, slowly leaning forward.
I wouldn't,
Michaela whispered, pressing her hands against his chest.
I don't do well when people invade my personal space. If you don't want me to knee you again, I suggest you stop.
Ren Lu paused, his gaze locked with Michaela's serious one. His lips curved upward in a humorous smile before he slid his hand back along her jaw. He straightened and stepped back, allowing his fingers to caress her before he dropped his hand.
As I said before, a shame, he replied,
with a slight bow of his head.
I have work that I must attend to. If you will follow me, I will escort you to a stateroom where you can freshen up and rest.
Michaela watched the cold, distant expression return to Ren Lu's face, reminding her again that this was a cold-blooded killer who hadn't thought twice about shooting her in the back. She swallowed, her gaze following him when he turned and began to walk away. She started when he turned to look at her in silence.
Will you? Are you going to let me go?
Michaela asked, clenching her fists by her side. Ren Lu returned her steady gaze before he answered.
I'm not sure.
Now follow me, he ordered, turning away from her again. Michaela glanced at the doors leading out to the upper deck. A part of her wanted to make a dash for it and see if she could make it over the railing and into the dark waters of the bay. The only thing stopping her was knowing that she would need to get to the lower level to make that possible, and she seriously doubted she would be fast enough. Reluctantly turning, she strode across the salon and down the stairs on the far side.
Brian will come,
she thought with renewed hope, her fingers caressing the watch. Chapter 26
Brian motioned for Tyrell to slow down the 14-foot Zodiac when they neared the cove where the Royal Hong Kong Yacht Club and Marina was located. They moved through the channel, barely causing a wake. They were running dark, so they didn't have the bow or stern lights turned on.
Are you sure about this?
Tyrell asked in a quiet voice, steering the boat into the slip where the Defiance should have been.
Yes, Brian replied, slipping the straps of the waterproof black backpack onto his back.
Together, they looped the bow rope around one of the pillars to keep the boat steady. Brian reached down and grabbed the long paddle, and, with Tyrell's help, they slid the paddleboard into the water. Brian carefully stepped onto the board, balancing himself by holding onto Tyrell's arm.
I'll let you know when I'm near the yacht. You come up and set up like you were fishing. While you distract them, I'll climb aboard and find Michaela. Be prepared to come in fast once I do, Brian instructed.
How will I know when you find her?
Tyrell asked with a nervous expression.
Brian glanced at him. Look for the fireworks, he said, before pushing off.
Good luck, man,
Tyrell whispered, shaking his head and sitting down on the padded seat to wait for Brian's call. Brian paddled the board across the gently lapping water. He would have enjoyed the peace and quiet if it wasn't for the fact that he was on the most important mission of his life. He stayed focused on the yacht gleaming like a pearl against the black water. All around him, the shoreline was lit with colorful lights, washing out the stars that shone above. If he had been just a mile offshore, he would have observed an astronomical display that would have put the lights of Hong Kong to shame. It didn't take him long to cover the half-mile distance to the yacht. He lowered his body down to the board and lifted the watch on his wrist to his mouth. With a soft murmur, he spoke.
I'm 20 feet out, he told Tyrell. There were 3 men on the top deck and 1 moving along the lower deck. There was a helicopter on the top. I don't see any sign of Michaela or Ren Lu.
Affirmative, Tyrell replied. I'm on my way.
Roger that. Brian acknowledged.
Brian shifted the paddle and used it to keep the board just far enough away to be out of reach of the spotlight that he had seen mounted to the top near the bridge. Almost 10 minutes later, he heard the soft purr of a motor. He glanced over his shoulder and saw the telltale red and green lights of a small boat coming closer. It was moving slowly, and he could make out Tyrell's huge form in the soft white light of the navigation light attached to the windshield. In his hands was a lightweight fishing rod. He paused and turned off the four-stroke engine,
and moved to the front where he could operate the trolling motor with his foot while he sat in a chair near the bow. Brian watched Tyrell skillfully maneuver the boat closer and closer in a non-threatening manner while casting the fishing pole and listening to music he had turned on. A grudging smile curved Brian's lips. He had to give it to Tyrell. He wouldn't suspect the other man of being anything but a fisherman enjoying